The next morning, when Justin stopped to pick up Megan on his way to school, she decided to talk to him about Juliet.
Morning, Meg.
Morning. Justin?
Hmm?
What do you think happens to a person after they die? Do you think their spirit stays around?
Those are pretty strange questions, Meg. Thinking about Jenny's accident.
Well, it's just... something weird is going on at my house.
At your house? Listen, your house is probably the only place in town where weird things aren't happening. Someone screwed up Jenny's steering, now that's weird.
Justin, I...
So tell me something, do you really think Donnie Richardson's behind this stuff?
I don't know. I don't think so. I told him no when he asked me out, and nothing bad has happened to me.
What? Donnie asked you out? You didn't say anything about that yesterday.
Hill would have made a big deal out of it, and it wasn't a big deal. He asked me out, and I said, no thanks.
How did he take it?
Okay, I guess.
Look, just steer clear of him, okay? His alphabet might be missing some of its letters.
Justin, have you ever heard of any famous horse named Jenny? A champion racer, maybe?
No? Why?
As Justin parked in front of the high school, Megan showed him the drawing.
Weird.
I figured out Barbie and Cappy, but why is the horse where Jenny should be?
That's not a horse. Oh, look at the ears. It's a mule. Know what a female mule is called?
A Jenny.
Right. Where'd you get this, Megan?
I found it yesterday in my art cubbyhole.
I got an errand to do at lunchtime, so I can't see you then. Come to the scribe office after school, Meg. Don't forget. We'll talk about your artist friend then.
The scribe was Philippa's newspaper, and Justin was its editor. As Megan followed Justin up the steps to the main entrance of the high school, the feeling of being watched slipped over her again. She tried ignoring it, in vain. Yet each time she glanced around, no one seemed to be paying the slightest bit of attention to her. At lunch, Megan met Hillary again on the embankment.
Hey, guess who's back, Meg?
Who?
That viper, Vicky Deans. The snake only got 1 week suspension for cheating on that Spanish test. I was hoping they suspend her for life.
Just ignore her. She's not in any of your classes, is she?
She's in my life, Megan. She makes my skin crawl. I know Ken Waters was going to take me to your party. He hadn't asked me yet, but I could tell. One look at tricky Vicky in that red halter top she's glued into, and Hillary Bench is history.
Oh, yeah.
Megan didn't want Vicky Deems at her party. Maybe she was just jealous, she thought. Vicky was sexy, sophisticated, everything Megan felt she was not. Thank goodness Justin wasn't interested in that type. Or was he? Hadn't he called Karen Tucker sexy? Compared to Vicky Deems, Karen was Snow White. But it wasn't jealousy that made Megan nervous around Vicky. It was the way those cold, dark eyes looked at a boy that made Megan shiver. Black spider eyes spotting a nice, juicy fly. After school, Megan stopped by the art room to check her cubbyhole just in case. She found another drawing. Her stomach lurched. This one was on dark blue paper, nothing more than a simple curved line in bright pink crayon, like a giant bump on the paper. That was all. It looked like a mound or a hill. Hillary! Megan raced to the auditorium where Hillary and a boy from the lighting crew were tying up loose ends after last week's junior class play. Breathless, her heart pounding furiously in her chest, Megan ran down the wide center aisle in the auditorium. Glancing up, she watched Hillary lean out over the catwalk high above the stage to retrieve a loose rope and fall. As Hillary plunged toward the hard wooden stage, one of her grasping hands came into contact with a rope dangling on her left. The hand grabbed and held. There was a moment of breathless silence as the two onlookers stood paralyzed with shock below their dangling friend.
Help! Get me down! Hurry! I can't hold on!
Quick, Alan! A ladder!
Right!
Hang on, Hillary! Don't let go! Alan's bringing the ladder! Hang on!
I'm coming now.
Hurry up, Alan.
Hold on. Okay. I've got you. Put one foot on the ladder. Just put... That's it. And the other one. That's it. Okay, let's go.
All right.
Take it easy.
What happened, Hill? Did you slip?
No, I didn't slip. I was pushed.
Pushed?
Of course. was pushed. I certainly didn't jump. Ken Waters isn't that great. Did either of you see who it was?
I didn't. I was upstage, sweeping. I couldn't see the catwalk from there.
And I was too far back in the auditorium to see or hear anything, except when you fell. I don't like this at all, Hill. Honestly, if you hadn't grabbed that rope...
You probably fell, Bench.
I did not fall, Alan. I'm not a falling sort of person. Someone pushed me. I'm reporting this to Mr. Shattuck.
He'll just blow it off, Hill. Nobody saw anything.
I don't care. I felt it. I had enough. I'm out of here. You coming with me, Megan?
Of course I'm coming, Hillary. Here, let me carry your stuff.
You're not going to pass out, are you? No, I'm not going to pass out. If I were a passing out kind of person, I'd have done it when I was hanging from that rope like a piece of meat in a butcher's shop. And I can carry my own things. Megan, you believe I was pushed, don't you? I mean, I wouldn't make up something like that.
Of course I believe you.
Well, don't you think it's scary? First, there's Jenny's accident, which turns out not to be an accident at all. And now someone sends me off into space from the catwalk. Something really nasty is going on here.
Megan wasn't listening. She was lost in her thoughts. Why would someone push Hillary, knowing that such a fall would kill her? And it had to be the same person who was drawing those pictures. Someone at the school. Someone who had access to the art room. Donnie, rejected by so many girls? Vicky Deems, viper extraordinaire, who always had that cold, hungry look in her eyes? Was she viciously trying to destroy the competition and keep all the boys for herself? When they reached their lockers in the long entrance hallway, Hillary was still angry.
Alan's right. It's no use telling Mr. Shattuck about this. He wouldn't believe me. So I wouldn't have it investigated, and whoever pushed me will get away with it. Just like he's getting away with the car tampering.
Hill, he won't get away with it. The sheriff is still investigating, according to my mom.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're okay? Your face is the color of my old gym socks.
I'm fine. I'm just mad now. Quit worrying. I'm gonna call my mom and have her pick me up. I don't feel like walking home tonight.
Good idea. I'll wait for her with you on the steps.
After Hillary had been deposited safely in her mother's car, Megan went to look for Justin in the scribe office, her mind in turmoil. Why was all this happening? In the past 2 days, 4 girls had narrowly escaped death, and every one of them was a good friend of Megan's. Was she in danger too? The door to the scribe office was open when she arrived. As she stepped inside, the tiny hairs on the back of her neck rose. Justin was seated at his desk as usual, a pencil nestling over one ear. But seated on his desk, not at all as usual, was Vicky Deems. A bright red halter top and black leather miniskirt fitted snugly around her beautiful body. She was leaning forward, whispering in Justin's ear. Megan froze in the doorway. Then Vicky turned and saw her.
Oh, hello, Megan.
Megan, hi.
Megan turned and ran.
Megan? Megan?
She kept going. She ran all the way home in a vain effort to escape 2 awful images. One was of Hillary plunging toward the stage. The other was of Justin, with his head close to Vicky's. That one filled her with fury. When she was safe in her own room, she grimly put all such thoughts out of her head. She had more important things to think about. Because ever since Hillary's nearly fatal fall, Megan had known that she was going to trade places with Juliet. The idea no longer seemed so crazy to her now, so impossible. All Juliet wanted was one tiny little week. That wasn't very much. Megan's gratitude that Hillary had been saved made her feel generous. What was a week, anyway? Practically nothing. Dropping her books and purse on the bed, Megan took a deep breath and walked over to the mirror.
Juliet, are you there? I want to talk to you.
But the mirror remained clear. There was nothing but glass and Megan's own reflection. That night, Megan awoke from a terrifying nightmare. She was caught in a vast spider's web, and off in the distance, a giant spider approached slowly on thick, black, hairy legs. Megan thrashed and moaned, but the web held. Somewhere in the distance, she heard her name called softly, but she was powerless to answer. Panicking halfway between sleep and wakefulness, she bolted upright in bed, suddenly wide awake. Stunned, she looked around her, but could see nothing in the pitch black. Her stomach lurched, her head ached with a pain that hurt her eyes, and she was very, very cold. And then she realized that the cold came from the now familiar plunge in the room's temperature. Megan shivered, wrapping her arms around her chest, watching numbly as the mirror across the room began to fill with a shimmering lavender image.
I'm sorry I didn't come earlier. I heard you calling me, but I was scared you decided not to trade, and I couldn't stand to hear you say it. Megan, what's wrong? You look awful.
I'm okay. Juliet, I thought about it. I want you to explain again about trading.
You do?
Yes. Exactly how would we do it? Tell me everything.
Oh, it's so easy. Once you agree, all you have to do is step into this mirror, and I will step out as you. It takes only a second.
And I will be invisible, but you will be able to hear me?
Yes, and nothing from your world can touch you.
But it can touch you, and you will be me. That scares me, Juliet. Are you sure you can protect yourself better than I could?
Yes, Megan, I'm sure. I'll be careful. But you can't tell anyone about this, Megan. That would ruin everything. You're the only one who must know about it. No one else.
You think you know enough about me to act and talk like me?
I will be you, Megan. I will look like you and talk exactly like you. But inside, I'll still be me. And you'll still be you. No one can take your real inner self from you.
We would have to practice switching before I agreed.
Of course. There's nothing to it. You step into the mirror and I step out, as you. And you can go anywhere you want, as long as you don't leave the lake area.
Juliet was right. There wasn't anything to it. They switched back and forth four times without a hitch. The strangest part was looking out from inside the mirror and seeing her physical self, now Juliet, standing there before her. Megan felt nothing but a peculiar sense of weightlessness, the way she imagined a soap bubble might feel. When Megan wanted to be herself again, she simply said, "I am Megan, and I want to be me again." And she was. After the fourth trial was completed, Juliet was quivering with excitement.
Oh, when can we do this, Megan? It has to be soon. There's hardly any time left before your birthday.
I've already decided. It has to be tomorrow night. You'll have a full week, and we'll switch back again next Saturday night in time for my party on Sunday. I have to be at my party.
I can't believe it! At last! Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. I'm going to have a whole week. And you won't change your mind, will you, Megan?
No, Juliet, I'll not change my mind.
Then I'll go now. Oh, I'm so excited. I hope the day passes quickly. Just call my name when you're ready, and I'll be here. And Megan, thank you. Thank you.